The one big beautiful bill about to become law, CJ Papa, Fox News. President Trump returned late last night to the White House from his quick trip to Iowa at the state fair touting his spending plan. He says he delivered on his promises to the American people.
It's very popular. It does many things, but one of them is the biggest tax cuts in our country's history.
Fox's Madeline Rivera.
President Trump says he will be joined by House Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader John Thune. The president is praising Republican leadership after days of wrangling with GOP lawmakers, leveraging his relationships to get the skeptics to say yes. And in the end, the president did get what he wanted, with only two Republicans voting no, Representatives Thomas Massie and Brian Fitzpatrick. The bill extends the tax cuts, eliminates some taxes on tips and overtime pay, and funds more defense and border security funding. But there were concerns, especially from members of the House Freedom Caucus. They were worried about the bill increasing the national debt, and they held up voting for hours until they got assurances from the White House that their concerns will be addressed later.
Now, former President Biden called it cruel. President Trump, speaking with his Ukrainian counterpart today, Volodymyr Zelensky, says they discussed air defenses and agreed to work on increasing capabilities to defend the sky. This comes after Russia delivers its largest missile and drone barrage into Kyiv since the war began.
President Trump says he had a lengthy call with Russian President Vladimir Putin about Iran and ending the war in Ukraine, but...
No, I didn't make any progress with him today at all.
The president says he's not happy with the situation and pushed back on criticism some shipments of weapons to Ukraine are being paused. A Kremlin official says Putin told President Trump Russia is not stepping back from its goals in Ukraine and peace talks must be between Moscow and Kyiv. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest, 16-time Nathan's champ Joey Chestnut back after being banned last year. America's listening to Fox News.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's greatest heroes and their families. Heroes like Mark Holbert. Mark enlisted in the United States Army and served multiple tours, including three in Afghanistan. On his fourth tour, he stepped on an improvised explosive device and lost two of his fingers and both legs. Tunnel to Towers provided Mark with a mortgage-free smart home, which enables Mark to live more independently. Support America's heroes, like Mark. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions, like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Good morning and happy 4th of July from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. The trial of the twin brothers charged with murdering the Yuma teen is dismissed. Defense attorney Aaron J. Reed says on Wednesday they received an email saying the state found out about additional evidence. Reed says the brother of the victim changed his story about what happened the night of the shooting. The state then filed a motion to dismiss the charges based on that information. The suspects in this case are 25-year-old twins David and Adrian Perez Arzola. Both were charged with first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, aggravated assault, and attempted armed robbery. Reed says the case has been dismissed with prejudice, meaning it can never be retried. The brothers were released from custody Wednesday evening. And celebrate the 4th of July with the City of Yuma 4th of July Fireworks Spectacular at Desert Sun Stadium. Gates open at 6. Fireworks start at 9 p.m. I'm Scott Gross.
Continued sunny, hot, and humid for the Independence Day weekend. 105 the high today, 80 the overnight low, 15 mile per hour winds today. Saturday, sunny and 108, 83 Saturday night. Sunday, sunny and 111, 84 Sunday night.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
AM 560, KBLU, Russ Clark back with you. Derek's here.
Good morning again.
Okay, but and the show's over, actually.
It is.
Yeah, but not for us.
Not well. We'll be out in the sun for another hour. But, you know, again, there's going to be people mixing and mingling and having good conversations. But that's what I hope more people realize is The flag retirement ceremony starts at 7. The flag raising ceremony at 7:30. Legitimately, an hour of your morning, yeah. And you started the day right, and now go home and have ice cream and hot dogs and beer.
It feels better now. Of course, we're on the air, and Gilbert can't even call in, you know.
No, that's true. Yeah, so you actually have to have an hour just ready to go right now. You don't have filler calls. Is that what that is?
You're the filler. but they missed a 21 gun.
They did, but I actually got it. So I'm going to post that on Facebook.
I was around the corner talking to the studio. And it,
I know, so loudly we could hear you all the way into the middle of the presentation.
That's awesome. I like to be noticed.
missed that on air based on our timeline, but I do have that 2 minutes, so I'm going to post that to Facebook here in just a little bit.
I got a caller on the line.
A caller on the line?
Yeah, which caller.
A walk-up caller? I like it.
Mr. Gilbert, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
No, get closer to that mic.
You
got to
go way closer than that.
Pick it up, man.
Use two hands.
Yeah.
I got too many moving parts.
It's a nice way to start the morning.
Oh, great, Martin. You know?
You know, and I thought I escaped Gilbert coming out here, and there's no phone.
No. See, I think I'll go where those guys are protesting and wear their shirt.
I think that's a great idea.
That's why today's a day of protest.
Yeah.
For some.
Yeah, for some.
Are they doing it here? I didn't see.
I haven't seen it.
It doesn't matter. After the big, beautiful bill being passed, now what do they got?
Did you see that? Did you see some of the speeches afterwards?
Yes,
they looked very static.
They were sad.
Most of them. Who was sad? The Democrats?
I want to thank everybody that showed up here. Great speeches today.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I really don't know the Colonel Nelson. You know, I used to know all of them, but not. I've been out of
touch.
What
happened?
You know, with that getting married and everything. You know?
Well, we just got to get you involved again.
Get me back involved.
Come on, Russ.
I'll do it.
You know, he's the voice of humor, right?
Yeah. He is. We just got to get him out of that 8-foot by 8-foot box and get him out.
Get him out of his comfort zone.
Well, he never puts his shoes on. That's the problem.
No, I don't in the studio.
I know.
I'm glad he's underneath the shade, though.
It was a little warm this morning.
It was. It's better now.
I'm talking about the reflection.
Well, yeah. That's off the top of the chrome dome.
There's a little of that.
Now, before
you got more honeydews to do today, or you get the day off?
Actually, I got the day off.
Wow, Carly, you're slipping.
I know, but oh no. You'll get some later.
I'm sure.
We're going to go have some breakfast.
Have fun with that. God bless you guys. Be good.
Have a good morning.
See, didn't escape. Gilbert.
Nope, didn't
even,
escape.
Even coming in here, we didn't escape.
Well, and we could certainly put.
Thanks.
Waltz, come on.
Well, this is a big day for him.
Walt Blakeslee, come on. You're pretending you're a caller. Get that microphone. And
grab the microphone.
Good morning.
Did it work out for you?
Real close.
Okay. How's that?
Very much better.
Okay, good.
The day work out, Walt? Everything good?
Oh, so far so good. It's been beautiful.
All right.
Tell me, from your perspective, what does this morning mean to you, and why are you out here?
Well, I'm here to represent the American Legion Post 19 as its new commander. For me as a veteran, it's always good to be able to be somewhere where that Stars and Stripes is being raised. I've certainly seen a lot of them where I've been there to fold the flag for an honored brother or sister who has departed.
So this is only the second year that there's been a flag retirement ceremony here.
That's correct.
For this presentation. Tell me, for the average human who's listening, who's never actually seen one in person and watched somebody such as Colonel Fieldy get emotional, what does that mean to you, and what does it feel like?
Well, a U.S. flag basically is only supposed to be in service for about 90 days with the amount of wind we have here in Yuma. They pretty well get ripped up and torn.
Yeah.
So for someone who has never seen a ceremony like this, I would highly recommend it. It lets you know that we're not tearing them up and using them for patches on the back end of somebody's blue jeans.
Yeah.
We at Post 19 are regularly burning
retiring
flags.
Properly.
Right.
And there is a distinction in that. People think that the way it's retired is it's just burnt, but it's not. So re-describe what you watched Colonel Fieldy explain.
To see the colors separated from the field, that was impressive. It always is impressive. Like I said, if they've never seen it before, by all means, come and see a ceremony like this.
And you do those at the post how often?
Well, as often as we can. In the last 5 years, I've collected over 11,000 flags out of the box at Lowe's that I built while I was working there.
Which is amazing that humans, that means there's 11,000 flags that have been flown properly and retired properly. It's not just, forgive me, you see some people that they dump it in a trash can or just do. No, there are individuals and organizations such as yourself that will still retire it properly.
Oh, by all means. Yeah. By all means. Bring them in. We'll be glad to dispose of them for them.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your service. We appreciate your time out here. And again, for all of Yuma listening, this is an easy event to go to, but it is a very important event that bring the kids out next year and watch the flag retirement ceremony, watch the flag raising ceremony, then go home and have hot dogs and ice cream and swim and do whatever.
You know, and Walt, on your way out, if you grab the sheriff and send him over here, I've got a complaint.
Grab the sheriff?
For sheriff, yeah. Tell him I've got a complaint. He'll be very
interested.
One
from one old Vietnam veteran to the rest of the community, happy birthday.
Thank you, Walt.
Thanks, Walt. Good to see you.
Bye-bye.
And so you're paging Sheriff Wilmot.
Oh, yeah.
I think
you
should.
Right there.
I think Walt can go tap him on the back. And
you know, he's not a guy really to be trifled with.
Yeah, but no.
I push the edge a little bit.
You can outrun him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of.
Okay.
No, come on.
Yeah, he's trying to pass
it
off.
He's trying to get out of it. That's the problem.
To pass it off, you know, whatever.
And you got him. You hoodwinked him into coming over.
Yeah, I've got kind of a complaint for the sheriff.
You know, he is bigger than you are.
Oh, much.
Hey, you got to turn his mic.
Much, yeah.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. He starts off good.
Yeah.
I got a complaint. I understand that there's going to be some checks this weekend. You know, to make sure that everybody's safe for today and whatever for DWI. I just need to know the locations, if you could help me with that.
You know, it's because it's sheriff. It's Yuma County. So not only DUIs, but OUIs as well.
Okay. What's
operating a vessel under the influence of alcohol.
And that could be also marijuana, not acceptable.
Operating on the influence of narcotics, exactly. So we'll be looking out for all
thank
of
goodness,
that.
I'm just driving a boat.
I do think that's why maybe Russ.
You operate a boat, drive a car.
Okay.
So that's why it's operating.
Can you get Russ on his bike?
I'm sorry?
Can you get Russ on his bike?
It is a mechanical. Okay.
It was really
vehicle, so you could technically get a DUI on a bicycle. Now, if you're riding a horse, you cannot.
I thought you could. In some states, I've heard of people being arrested for that in some states.
Not in Arizona.
Not in Arizona?
No, because it's a horse. It's not a mechanical vehicle.
As long as the horse is not drunk.
Now, the little horse that you put 25 cents in when you were younger.
That doesn't count.
You know, we had such a good morning, and it just devolves
that
so fast
count.
Around isn't here with Russ, doesn't it?
But you are going to have some check stations out there, so people want to be careful.
Well, there'll be what we call wolf packs, so there will be officers working in certain areas where we have had situations where in the past had problems. So
try
we'll
to
be targeting
my house. You know.
So.
No,
so it's kind of a roving patrol. We don't really set up a DUI checkpoint.
It's a big
that's kind of stopped for many, many years because obviously word gets out quickly, and then you have no activity.
But
so
for something like this, though, it celebration and all that, people overdo.
Some do. That's why we encourage everybody to make sure that you have a designated driver or an operator of a vessel if you're going to go out and partake in any medicinal beverages. For the 4th of July?
And that includes boats. Don't
boats, vehicles, exactly.
Yeah, all of them. Because make it a happy holiday. You don't want to have that happen.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're celebrating the birth of this country, and we're also celebrating our military for what their service and sacrifice. So let's keep it safe and sane. Fireworks is a big thing right now. It's really dry out there. So we're concerned with that as well, especially along the river corridor. Because all the tulies and everything is really dry, and we've unfortunately had folks light up fireworks, and then the vegetation catches on fire and creates a lot of issues, especially with the wind.
I hear a lot of people complain every year about the fireworks that are shooting up in the air, the louds, the firecrackers, not legal.
Right. And that's just it. You can light off fireworks all you want, but any airborne fireworks in Arizona is illegal unless they actually have a permit, and then you can partake in that. So go watch them wherever there's designated areas. There's
stay
permits
safe.
Been issued. Exactly.
Be kind to your neighbors.
Be very kind to your neighbors. big problem we have too is we get calls because dogs, they get impacted by that. They run away from home because they're scared. So
well, it's not only that, but it's these large ones that are lit off over housing neighborhoods, and all of these things are falling down on other people's property that you just don't know what's going to happen. So
and sometimes at least some of the older houses catching on fire. So that's why you want to really be careful, because wherever that goes, whoever lit that off is responsible for anything that happens. So
all your crew is going to be working this weekend.
Oh, yeah, they're already out. In fact, we had a large contingent coming into Yuma from surrounding states to go out to the river. So Fisher's Landing, Martinez Lake, they're already out there today. So
perfect. So
boat patrols out there on the water, and deputies are also out on the streets.
So wave to your friendly sheriff. Let them know everything's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. And thank them. They're out there protecting us, making sure the rest of us are safe.
That's
so,
right.
You know, unfortunately, it takes one person to make it not right for everybody else. So
that's
thank
right.
you to you and your deputies who are out there.
Well, we're honored to do it.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And thank you for coming out and
Derek made me.
Joining us on there.
I did. I said, you know, it's my show from 8 to 9. You're going to be here whether you like it or not.
Oh, well. Hey,
you know, that's how you do it.
But this is the first time I've seen him not in his strawberry shortcake footy pajamas. Mm. It's the weirdest thing. Mm. Normally,
What's your normal day on the radio?
Fridays?
Yeah.
So this worked out.
You get a couple hours?
8 to 9.
Just an hour.
Yeah. But
Well, you know, you do life, death, and the law, right? Isn't that part of the deal?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we should do law day.
Yeah.
You know,
you're welcome,
a law segment.
We could do that.
I'll drag the chief in or the other chiefs, and then we can just
let's do a
dialogue with the folks in Yuma, and they can ask questions.
All right.
We should work on that.
I'll set that up with you.
Done.
Absolutely.
I'll deal with your office.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't want to deal with the death part, just the law part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. And, I've got to take a break real quick. We'll come back. I want to talk to Rob
Philby.
Yeah, we
need to talk to Rob Philby
again.
So we'll take a quick break.
We'll be right back. AM 560 KBLU.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 1808.99 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
AM 560 KBLU, Ross Clark back with you. Derek Eggeberts here. And Colonel Rob Philby joined us.
Good morning.
You know, you've already had a hard day.
Good morning, folks.
You've had a lot of talking already.
And I need to apologize to your audience.
For?
Sometimes I get emotionally involved. And I don't want to say I shouldn't, but I do. And sometimes it's folks take that the wrong way. It's something that I really feel strongly about.
Yeah, well, it shows.
I'd really like to have more folks come and see it. But I'm glad you were there to listen to it.
Well, and we had it on camera also.
Fantastic.
You know, we simulcast through Facebook and X. So there were some people that got to see. And I turned the cameras on to the flag as the caviars were cutting it up. And
we were disassembling the flag.
Well, and what you were just saying, Rob, I think one of the reasons that I enjoy doing this with you or watching you do it, per se, is that emotionalness. It is not a negative, but when you see how many years of service?
30. I was in the Army for 30 years.
30 years of service, commanding officer. When somebody such as yourself, take this the right way, gets emotional about it, that's what the civilian population needs to see, is how committed the military men and women are to this country and the symbolism behind the flag. And unfortunately, a lot of the civilian population don't know how to retire a flag properly or what it really means. And you bring that through so eloquently.
Well, I appreciate that. It's one of the things. Let me start that sentence over. Our population is not, does not have as much of a military affiliation as we did in the past. Now, I'm not going to harp on the past, but we are an all-volunteer force. No conscription. Folks are in the military. Folks are in the Army because they want to be. You've got family legacies, but you've got other folks that said, yeah, I want to do that. And they join. I mean, my father came across the beaches at Normandy, not on D-Day. He came across. One of my uncles was a glider pilot in the Pacific Theater. One of my other uncles was aboard USS Catamount during Korea. Our nephew was aboard the Theodore Roosevelt in the Persian Gulf. My son had two tours over in the sand. He was in the Air Force. My brother went to Vietnam. In fact, he was in places in that part of the world that we don't acknowledge folks were there. But my brother went to that part of the world, and so it's in my family. But today's environment, kids aren't always ready to do that. As I've said, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. But the other part of it is, you don't join the military to become a rich person.
No.
You can live. You can make a good living. But you do it because you want to.
Yeah. Well, and what you're saying, so if you look at my profession as a mortgage lender, I get to see income levels of everybody who comes in. And so, again, when we talk civilian population, you can speak to this. What is an E3?
An E3 is actually the third rank of our enlisted. They start out as a private E1,
mm-hmm.
and they don't even have any insignia. And they're still learning what's their left foot and what's their right foot, like back in the Revolution, hay foot, straw foot. Then you get to be a private E2. And now he wears his rank. Then you get to be a PFC, private first class. And they really think there's something. Then you got a sergeant, specialist E4, mm-hmm. sergeant E5, staff sergeant E6. Sergeant First Class E7, Master Sergeant First Sergeant E8, Command Sergeant Major E9.
So while you're saying that, again, for this civilian population, an E3 is you've been in for a year or two, more than likely, you've developed a career, and now you're out doing things. But the money, when you say you don't get rich in this industry, the money that an E3 makes might be $30,000-ish a year. And so for somebody on my side, those men and women are willing to take a bullet for everyone else for 30 grand a year. That's teacher salary. And so when people say teachers aren't paid enough, you have military men and women, what you said, volunteer, no conscription. You're doing this for the rest of us, and you're willing to put your life on the line for that. So it's not about the money.
It's not about the money. And as I believe it was Abraham Lincoln indicated that one true measure is you signed a contract up to and including your life. That's for real. That's not just for saying. That's for real. Each one of us signed that contract. Each one of us stood up and raised our hand and said, I do.
The percentage of the population, though, is like, what, less than 1% now that joined the military?
It's getting down to that.
Yeah,
but again, you do it because you want to. Yeah. I'm not going to get out there and browbeat folks. Do it because you want to.
No, but the respect level that the population should have for those that do it voluntarily, and I think in Yuma County, it is very, very good.
Enlistments are up now. They're making quotas again. They're making their numbers, which is good to hear.
Which is good to hear.
Yeah.
So, Colonel, and how many years is this that we've done the flag
raising? This is the 39th.
So this is only year number two with a flag retirement ceremony.
Correct.
Again, tell me the level of respect that you have. What did it mean for you to start putting that to the public to show them what a flag retirement ceremony is?
I got to be careful. I don't trip over my fat tongue.
Oh, you did that on the podium. It's fine.
it, there are so many folks that say, oh, we need to go burn the flag. What do I do with this flag? Say, oh, no. You don't burn the flag. You retire it. If you don't know what to do with it, give it to me. You won't believe the number of times I've pulled a flag out of a waste can.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts. And I collect them. I don't collect them. I hold them. And then I take them either to Post 19 or out to the VFW on Highway 95, and they have a respectful flag retirement ceremony. Anybody who says to me, well, we're going to go burn the flag, say, no, you're not going to burn the flag.
Yeah.
You're going to retire the flag. It's a play on words, but it means a lot.
Yeah.
Well, Walt Blakesley was here, and he was saying that in his career, because he put the collection box in at Lowe's, so his post, he says, under his tenure, has retired approximately 11,000 flags.
I wouldn't doubt it. Post 19 has been the bright, shining light as far as showing honors to our colors.
Yeah.
So the other unsung hero in this, because you've done retirement ceremonies for the Caballeros, for Yuma, for our office often, how does your wife feel about this? Because she's always your assistant, typically adding the wood to the fire, typically assisting you. How would she describe this if she was talking about her husband and this retirement ceremony?
She'd probably say he's ADAT. I like to cross T's and dots I's. I just like to make sure it's done right. I don't want to gloss over it because people watch and they say, oh, yeah, okay, I understand. But if you get a fat tongue or I get a hitch in my breath because it's really touching, it's showing respect to our nation's colors.
And that, I think, is the other part of it, is we're respecting the flag and we're paying tribute to the military men and women who have served. But the opposite side of that is the spouse who has been supporting that military man or woman and may be the surviving spouse of somebody who has paid the ultimate price, and as the recipient to the folded flag that you mentioned.
And I said, if no one disrespects a flag that hadn't been handed a folded one. Talking about my wife, this is our 55th anniversary this year. In fact, it's about it's 25th of this month, and today's the 4th. So what have I got? 21 days. Got to remember. But seriously.
Yes, you do.
Seriously.
Can somebody call Rob every day for the next 21 days and remind him?
But seriously, Nancy will say, you've been with him. She says, he had a 30-year career. She says, yes, and please don't take this wrong, folks. She says, yes, I was a camp follower for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you read your history books, you'll find the military wives, especially out here in the West, traveled with their spouses, with their husbands. And they were at home keeping the own fires burning while their husband was out doing his duties here in the Southwest or in the Midwest or on the East Coast. The wife was home keeping the fires going. They really make it possible.
Yeah.
They really make it possible for us. She does a checkbook. She gives me one check. And I don't get another check until I tell her what I did with the one she gave me.
Well, then that's she would be the one to remind you of the anniversary, because she's going to give you the check to go get the anniversary present.
Seriously, we've got a very, very good relationship. I've known her since the 5th grade.
You recommend a military career?
Yes. It's a challenge. I look back on my 30 years and the way I grew up in the Army, and I say, wow. I couldn't do it that way now.
Yeah.
So much has changed, so much technology. Soldier is called upon to do so much more, and they do it well. They do it well. Our schools for our soldiers are fantastic. You just have no idea. A smart TV. I can't do that. Today's kids snap this, look at it, and say, yeah, I want something, I ask my grandson to do it.
Right.
And many of us my age have said that. Where's my grandson so he can do this for me?
But the basics of the military, and I think with Pete Hegseth now and wanting to get back to some rigors and some physical preparedness and stuff like that, is that stepping back to the core culture we need, or is that ignoring the technology?
I don't think it's ignoring the technology. What we're trying to do is instill a pride in service. And we want our military, not just the Army, we want our military to understand they are here to defend our nation, fight our wars.
Right.
But nobody wants to go to war. You talk to a military person, that's the last thing they want to do is go to war. But we're here to defend our nation. So today's soldier comes to the military with a different perspective, and we owe it to them to understand and appreciate their willingness to step forward and their innate understanding of what's going on.
Now, you know, my son's in the Air Force.
I followed his career. Right?
When he first decided to go to the Air Force, guy, I remember what you told me was that's a good alternative to a military career, which I think is some fun that you guys have amongst the different agencies and different groups.
I did the same thing to my son.
He's in the Air Force.
My son's in the Air Force. He's 22 years in the Air Force. Yeah. He did apply. He did apply to the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
He was accepted.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have been able to be a pilot because of his eyesight.
Same with my son.
So he was kindly nudged, and not by his father, but he was kindly nudged. He says, you're really going to be a second-class citizen at the Air Force Academy if you're not a pilot. But that was that was a while ago.
Yeah.
It was a while ago, and I'm assuming things have changed because the Air Force is really technology savvy.
It had changed. And in fact, I think he told me the same thing. My son told me the same thing, that it was a second class. You know, most generals are all former pilots. And so I was surprised when he was given command of Ospreys. I mean, he had a squadron commander. And I didn't know they did that for non-pilots, but they do.
They do that. Your son, I knew your son was a smart kid when he was in high school, when he was here in town.
Sure.
He was a smart fellow.
Yeah.
The military has a way of acknowledging and recognizing that. And commanders traditionally have been very much affiliated or learned, raised up in whatever type of unit they end up commanding.
Mm-hmm.
The Osprey is a unique bird.
Yeah, and he set up two squadrons.
It's like a platypus. I'm not sure anybody understands that. It's like a platypus. So it's, yes, you've got to have the tactical ability to deploy it, but you also have to have the technical wherewithal to understand what you've got, what that piece of machinery is, and how your pilots, how your mechanics are so involved with that piece of machinery. So command isn't always for pilots. I mean, I commanded an ordnance company, ammunition. I commanded an ordnance battalion, maintenance. And now I'm an acquisition guy, so I test stuff till it breaks. And that's what I
need someone to do that. You know?
So
that's why he's sitting here for the next hour.
Till we break.
So there is a place. Your son is very competent, and it is showing in the assignments he's getting.
I'm saddened that he went the colonel route, though. You know, and he called me and told me, he said, I have good news and bad news. And I said, what's the good news? He says, well, I've been asked to be a lieutenant colonel, but I have to make a commitment. That's the bad news. They don't want me to do 20 years and out. They'd like me to stay and make a commitment to stay. So because he was going to come home after 20. Not now. Now he's...
Let me give you a spin-off on that. On my 20th anniversary of service,
mm-hmm.
I was in Germany. I was on a British installation on a cricket pit. Cricket pitch is where we had our change of command ceremony. And out in the middle of the field, and the colonel, the group commander's out there congratulating and all, and he calls my wife out, and she comes out to get recognition by the group commander. And she leans over to him and says, "Where are his retirement papers?"
Oh.
He was blown away. He kind of, he obviously he blew her off.
Yeah.
But she said, "Where are his retirement papers? I only signed up for 20.
Right.
We came home, went to the work. I went to the Industrial College of the Armed Forces, spent 6 years in the Pentagon, and, 4 years out here, and then retired out here. So we got to do 30.
Walk in the park.
Walk in the park.
There you go.
So let's acknowledge really quick, the city of Yuma personnel was out here. What time did you set up this morning?
I was out here at 4:30.
Okay. And there wasn't anybody else until what, 5?
No, the city was here.
I know. So you had city personnel helping set this up.
Sure. They were cleaning, setting up, making sure the rocks were in the right places.
Easy event. And while we've been here on air, they've literally put everything away.
It's gone. We're the only ones here.
But now they have to go over to Civic Center and get ready for those set up for the fireworks and things tonight. So, you know, again, while we're enjoying the weekend and celebrating the military personnel that defend this great country of ours, you also have another group of individuals, City of Yuma personnel, police, sheriff, fire, that are working on our behalf, keeping us safe and setting up these events as well.
Yeah.
So, but it's amazing that, you know, for everybody who could next year, you're here by 7, by 8:15, you're done. It's not hot out here. The weather's great. Well,
it was hotter this morning. It was muggy.
It was humid this morning. We were done. We were done and saying goodbye by 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always tell folks,
it's not that long.
You still got your whole day.
Just get out of bed.
Yeah. Get out of bed. Get Russ out of the studio. All of those things.
Well, it is.
And Rob, do you see the same fire and passion in the young military personnel that are being recognized here today?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. There were three of them before the ceremony started. And I walked over and said to them, "You know, you three are the smartest ones here." And they looked at me and said, "You're standing behind the wall there in the shade. Everybody else is out here milling around and talking in the sun. And the three of you are standing back here in the shade. You are the smart ones."
I don't think they were afraid to work, though, man.
No.
They look gung-ho.
When we start, you'll get the picture, find a place out front, be prepared to come up and get recognized. Today's soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, merchant marines.
That marine that took that award looked like he could break you in half, Derek.
Probably 3 seconds after snapping you in half.
He looked like he took physical fitness seriously.
They do.
And again, you hear a lot of people say, "Oh, the younger generation just isn't whatever it is," or, you know, "No, today's employees are just not as good and devoted as the previous one." But you would say it's just as, if not even more dedicated as when you went in?
That's a good one. When I went in, it was a draft. I was not drafted. I had a very low number. I went to military college, so I knew that when I graduated from that from university, I was going on active duty, and that was just the way it was planned. I planned it. And my wife knew what our plans were, and
she went along with it.
She went along with it. It was interesting. If you don't mind, a rabbit trail here. Graduated in June of 1970. Didn't go on active duty until August of 1970. But I didn't get those orders right away. So we were planning to get married after college. She graduated in 1970 from the University, Mary Washington College, University of Virginia, Fredericksburg. I graduated from Norwich University, Northfield, Vermont. Graduated on the same day, so we couldn't be at each other's graduation. So I'm home, and I got a summer job because I'm going on active duty sometime. The your mothers, kind of, as mothers of the bride are,
she's kind of asking me, when are you going to get married here? What do I need to do the planning? And we finally bit the bullet, and we picked the 2nd of August. The 1st of August. A week later, I get my orders for active duty. Report to Aberdeen Proving Ground on 2 August.
Wow.
Needless to say, my wife called her mother. Mom, we have to move the wedding. Fortunately, I was not anywhere nearby to hear that discussion. And for a number of years, we had a 2 champagne flutes with 2 August on them.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, 1 August. So we moved it back and it became 25 of July. We spent 3 months at Aberdeen and then went to Germany. And we didn't come back for 5 years.
Oh, wow. So you didn't have family looking in on you.
And that was
probably a blessing.
That was a mixed blessing.
Yeah.
Because think back at that time in the early 70s, there was no cell phone.
Yeah.
The way you communicated, if you did use a phone and your house didn't have one, you went to the train station in town and went into a phone booth that had an international line.
Oh.
And that's the way I called home to announce to my parents and my wife's parents that we were... We had 2 children. We didn't have them simultaneously, but we had 2 children during those 5 years. But this town we lived in, there weren't as many phone lines as there were people. So not everybody had a phone.
Right.
We would communicate back home with, think about this, cassette player. We would make a tape, put it in the mail, and send it home.
And now if you go to Germany in the military, you have a cell phone in your pocket and you can pick it up. Say, yeah, Mom, what do you need?
Yeah, exactly. The kids were little. I'll close in just a moment. The tapes would come back and we'd play them. And the kids would start talking back to the tape. Start answering questions. I said, no, you have to wait till we're done and we'll make a tape and send it back. But at that time, they wanted to talk on the tape and answer their grandparents. And
wow. But you had to get to know each other and rely on each other. Huge. No family around. That is, I think, a blessing.
You know, I would like to say, Colonel Philby, thank you for being the master of ceremonies here. Yeah. Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you to 560 AM KBL Yuma for allowing us to do this from here. You know, this is what the 4th of July and Independence Day is supposed to be about.
It's tied down.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, the Balloon Festival, they say, you need to be on the ground before 9 because the winds kick up here in Yuma, and look what's happening at 8:45.
And we need to sign off anyway. What we're going to do is we're going to play a couple commercials. We're going to go right into the Star Spangled Banner, and the guy in the studio, he's doing a good job. I think he knows how to fire that and play it. We'll see.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
We'll be back on Monday anyway. AM 560 KBLU. Thank you.
This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626. This is Derek Eggeberg, NMLS number 180899 with Mortgage One. When it comes to the biggest financial decisions of your life, you deserve expert guidance. At Mortgage One, we know a home loan is more than just numbers. It's part of your financial future. Our team's highly qualified professionals provide a complete mortgage analysis. We'll help you explore the available programs and options to fit your needs in today's marketplace. The Mortgage One team will work to blend your mortgage needs and compare cash to close and payment options with various programs in today's marketplace. Place offering competitive interest rates to meet your needs. Again, Mortgage One, an equal housing lender, NMLS number 898812. Give us a call today at 928-483-LOAN, which is 928-483-5626.
Music.
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry?" He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." They said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered. And you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, "How many ships?" He said, "Hundreds." The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, "Men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch." As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly, the British war fleet unleashed. He says, "The sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs." He said, "It was absolutely impossible to talk or hear." He said, "Suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit." And he says, "From down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, 'Tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us.'" 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, "It's still up. It's not down." The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle, but the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, O say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. For the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
City News Yuma Minute.
This is News Talk.
The City of Yuma and the Yuma Metropolitan Planning Organization are looking for another round.